Hello, you tuned in to Super Art Creator Talk, episode 2. And today we have a very special guest. His name is Sean Reed. He is a comedian, a DJ, an actor, and so many other things. But let's let him...
A dancer.
A dancer. A private dancer. So let's hear from Sean in his own words, and we will put those applause and give it up for Sean Reed, y'all.
There's nobody here. How's everybody doing? Do a bunch of different things because when you were born poor, you gotta figure it out.
Amen. To
you become
that.
A barber. You become a little bit of everything.
Hey, ain't got no hair. I'll braid somebody's hair though.
Word. You gotta just do multiple different things yourself because you can't depend on a crew. So you know, a lot of the times to get things done, you gotta do it yourself.
All right. Amen to that. You know what? Can we just pick one of the things? Let me just pick right into your comedy, man. Like, can you tell us something about that? Or maybe where somebody could go to see your stuff or order some stuff or online or whatever?
I have a DVD called Sort of a Comedian. It's spelled S-O-R-T-U-V-A Comedian. What happened was, how that got started was, I had a producer named Domingo. He's a big producer. He produced for Fat Joe, Big Pun, Shaq, a bunch of different people. He was like really big in the 90s and been producing till now.
Right.
He told me to put a video together as like a demo of my stuff because he wanted me to do some comedy. So the show basically was Big Daddy Kane versus Kool G Rap. So he needed to see something. So what I did was...
So giants in hip hop.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I did was instead of just putting stand up, I added a little extra to it where I did like track and field in the beginning, where I did the high jump and made it like, and then show like bloopers of music videos that I did where this girl slaps me in the face. And so it was a couple of like standout things on there. At the end of the stand up, I also put, because you know I do everything.
Mm-hmm.
So one weekend, I was a boxing manager, and I had went into the room with like 8 Mexicans that was fighting, and I just, to show my personality, when I go in a room, I can link up with anybody, and it's gonna be funny.
Oh, that no, this dude ain't lying. This dude ain't lying.
So that was the end of it, and it was just to show some of the personality. And once I did it, and he was like, "Oh, that's dope." I was like, then I started to push that, and then I made another one. So I'm working on another one now called I Am Spider-Man. The reason why I think this third one is so dope is because I finally finished a joke. Because I'm like super off task.
Right.
Like, you know what's so crazy? When I was in college, I was supposed to read the Malcolm X autobiography.
Mm-hmm.
And out of 600 pages, I got up to like 44, but I still got a C+. So certain things I'll complete the task, but not really put the work that I'm supposed to put. See, I know you would have read the whole thing twice because you're just like...
Well, I kind of did, but...
And so, it wasn't even for school. Like, you just did it. You just got that type of time.
So you are an expert in the early life of Malcolm Little, a.k.a. Malcolm X.
I think I got to, like, the part with his father. Like, that was it. I was like, I think I got enough. I seen enough films on it. Like, right.
You seen Denzel, though? You seen Denzel play him?
Nah, it wasn't. Wait.
Yeah, Denzel played him on the Spike Lee joint.
I was in college in 94, so I didn't see the movie yet.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah. I didn't see the movie till it came out on VHS.
VHS.
Yo, you know what's funny?
Oh my gosh.
I think it was a double tape.
Oh, so, okay. So
as soon as he said like this, the tape stopped. And you had to put the other tape in. Like you saw the Titanic on VCR?
Yes, it did.
I forgot what part, but it was like... went to black. Right, like, oh, I gotta throw the other tape in. Pop the other tape in.
For real. Because if a movie went over 2 hours, they had to have the other tape.
Meet Joe Black was a double tape.
My man's going back.
I don't remember the storyline, but it had Brad Pitt in, so chicks love him. So
yeah. Chicks love him, aka we gonna play it.
I'm like the chubby Brad Pitt of Scotia.
Hey, look, man. I ain't gonna knock it. Don't play, man. I ain't gonna lock it, man. You kind of smooth with it. But
all of us don't have the good looks like this guy. He don't even got to talk.
Tell you what, I wish that was the case.
Sean, you always keep it light, right? So I guess my question to you is, you know, you try to keep it light all the time, or do you?
With everything.
Everything.
I'm gonna tell you how. Okay, I gotta be slightly out there because I used to work at Trusco. So my thing is, like, even if I'm in a situation where it's guns involved, like, I got to figure out how to get us out of that in the lightest way possible. Oh, so
I hear you, man.
You have to take, like, even death. You have to take death. Like, you got to crack jokes at the funeral to try to lighten up the situation.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those, like, if we took everything as serious as life is, it would be... We would just be depressed all day. When you look at Facebook, so and so uncle died. Next post, oh, somebody fell in love. The post after that, my cat sister died. You know, you get what I'm saying? So it's like it's so much that happens, and we all lose people every day. That you have to figure out ways to find, and that's what comedy really is: finding the funny out of your tragedy.
Yeah,
your wife leaving is like. You gotta make it where it's like, all right, sis, I'll talk to you later. Oh, you got another girl. Yo, you just told me you're leaving. How you mad at me because you're leaving and I'm all right with it.
And I lined up.
I'm fine with it. Like, all right, it's not even about that. It's just that. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. So, like, you're supposed to be, like, in pieces and, like, falling apart.
Yeah.
You mean that, right?
Yeah. Because their expectation is, like, if they feel like they control your happiness, then they feel like they have power. But if it's like, all right, I told you later, beat me later, then
you're right. I feel you. That's so interesting because when you say that, like, you know, you are giving us some really cool philosophy. I don't know if you really realize that. Because you're a comedian, but you are in that right as philosopher,
and
I'll
be mad depressed 10 minutes late. Like, the thing about it is, like, because it seems like I joke about everything,
right?
I can go to a really serious topic where it's like, people are like, oh, I didn't think. No, you to be able to entertain a room full of people with just a microphone is not as easy as people think it is.
Oh, right. Oh, not at
and
all.
And then you're
not
trying to get, like, okay, if he's there, how do I connect him, his grandson, his wife?
Mm.
How do you get everybody, how do you get to the point where you're connected with everybody in the room?
Mm.
That's what comedy is. I can't just make jokes to make him laugh. I have to come up with stuff like him and his wife together. How long y'all been together? Oh, 36 years. My last relationship was like 35 minutes. And then it's funny. And then I might say, all right, so you've been with her since then? I'll say, like, oh, but I know in the 70s, I know you had mad chicks. You was like the you was like the Burt Reynolds in the 70s on State Street. And it's connecting with his situation. Yeah. And then I can go into, okay, relationships are not built like that no more.
Mm.
You know, you with one inbox, you could, like, have a whole new wife for, like, 24 minutes. And then, so everything is like a revolving door now. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
People don't allow themselves to be heartbroken no more. It's just like...
Right, yeah, yeah.
You're replaced. Like,
yeah, like, no. Like
in a
that.
Relationship like, with boom, today, clock. Y'all broke up tomorrow.
Yeah.
Next day's pictures of you and some new dude. And it's like, yo, what happened to...
Yeah, like a grieving period, a finding yourself period, right?
It's none of that now. It's just... Everything is just... So you have to... You know what? You know what people tell me also is like, they'll say, "Oh, you've been so brokenhearted about somebody did." No, it's not even about that. It's not about one person.
Right.
When you look at your breakups in life, like you think of, okay, I dated this one at this time, I dated this one at that time. A lot of people don't have, like, what you have is beautiful, like you said.
Thank you.
30 plus years is a lot of work. Mm. In today's time, it's like you look at all the breakups as one thing, and it's like, okay, what's the common factor of why everything is going wrong?
Mm-hmm.
My life in general is decent. Like, I can't really complain because I, as far as what I do, I take care of myself. I take mm-hmm. care of my kids. Yep. I help other people.
Amen.
But when it comes to love, love is, like, super tragic for me. Mm-hmm. Like, just mm-hmm. in general, and it's like, you meet some people where it's like, okay, if this, you meet a female that buys you stuff,
mm-hmm.
it's a lot of the time it's covering up for the control that they're gonna try to take,
bro. Hey, like, man, like, yeah, like, you just, yeah, okay.
You bought right. me 6 shirts.
And just to be correct, we talking about for females too, guys doing the same thing, just to throw it out there.
No. That's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to say. See how they clean everything up.
But I agree with Sean, honey.
So it's one of those things. Like, you're right. It's guys that do the wrong thing too. But
like, but I we said, but we guys. So we got to say it from our point of view. So yeah, that's because that's what
no.
We're
and
really
I
do.
Mean, and I have a lot of female friends, so I understand. Like, whoever's wrong is wrong. If you're my male friend and
oh, yeah.
I feel you're wrong,
no, yeah, you tell it like it is. I mean, you tell it like it is, which yeah. I love about you. Yeah.
Even though it could get me beat up, if
man,
not really
no.
beat up,
but, yeah, but in trouble, yeah. in trouble in a way, or get energy that you ain't trying
because
to get.
Because people, when they vent, they expect you to just say, you know what? Nah, you right. No, you wrong.
Yep.
My boy was like, yo. Yo, I can't believe she had somebody else. So you had like 5 kids on her, like when y'all was
oh,
mad.
Oh God!
So
yeah,
how you expect me to be like, yo, you right, you bro?
How dare she do that
Come
to
on,
you?
Son. Like it's so, and people accept that honesty where it's like it might make you mad, but it's like a lot of people are gonna just tell you they're gonna coddle you. Yeah, you right. Yeah, she's wrong. No, bro, you have 5 kids, you have 4 kids. Even one kid is still
yeah, out of your during your relationship. So is this something that you would, I mean, this is a personal situation, but is this something you would put in a joke, in a stand up?
See, I write for practice.
Okay.
But I don't, okay, I'll give you a for instance. Say yeah. I write a joke about, like, I don't never use the stuff I write.
Oh, okay.
I kind of like when I get to, remember, I'm a DJ, so every
yes,
time
indeed.
I every
yes,
time
indeed.
I play out, it's a different crowd.
Yep.
So say I do your wedding anniversary. Now, I probably wrote jokes about whatever for practice, but when I get to his family is I never seen his family before.
Right.
So I have to figure out what's going to work with his family.
Mhm.
You get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying.
You like, not that you have to put comedy, not that you have to be comedic as a DJ, but you're the entertainer for 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So his son is getting married. His son is like 30 something. His great grandmother might be there. I might come sing Lady in Red and be rolling all over the floor and on the knees dancing with her. And that wasn't part of the wedding.
Oh, right.
So
right.
it's, I come up with stuff as I go, and that's what, when you have more improv than written material, me trying to remember what I wrote is the worst. So it's the same thing as when you go to a wedding and you wrote out something, you're like, and I love my cousin and we went to and this. When you say it from the heart, it's different.
It is different.
We're
yes.
like, yeah, I remember the first time we went to Scotia and we was at the park and she was sitting there on a swing. And now you're just telling a story where it's like, it's the story. But if I'm trying to read it from the paper, it doesn't look natural. Like, yeah, and then he stayed with us for the summer of 88 and we went to Lake George and I... So it's a different, the dynamic is different. Like I just said, when I did a report, Mm-hmm. If I would have read the book, it would have been like, all right, I read the book. If you see like movies, you know his story, and you're able to answer the questions, it's, I'm a procrastinator.
It's like, and a little taste of that, right? But you, right, you owning your stuff.
A teacher called
stuff,
me a master BSer because, like I worked in a school 6 years. So one of the teachers said, I'm not even going to make a lesson plan for him because I do my own lesson. And doing that, the kids love me forever from one day of being a teacher. I'm not going to teach, oh, yeah, so and so and so. I'm gonna look for something that's like, okay, what do kids watch? Netflix, right? You know how they have the different stocks of what this costs, what that costs, a budget for a movie. I mean, I'm heavy into like movie budgets. Because you guys mess with movies. So
yes,
when you look at something like Adam Sandler, perfect example. The consistency of Sandler is his movie budgets are about $50 million. He's gonna make $150 million, so his core audience guarantees that he's gonna triple what they double or triple what they spent.
Yes.
Now you look at other movies like what? Remember back when they had like Blockbuster and DVD sales, so they have foreign, domestic. So when you teach them stuff like that, they look at it a little different. I'll do something like, because most of the time, I'm not going to do the same class all the time. So basically, I go through every single student. What's your name? What do you want to be when you grow up? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, I want to be a singer. All right, come up. Come up with. Come in front of the class and let us hear you sing. Whatever they want to do or whatever I have some knowledge of, then we're going to do it. It's a discussion. Some teachers, the first day, they give you a test. You walk in. You don't even know these kids yet.
Mm.
You can't just rush education into somebody and even know their name.
Oh, right. So you're saying like establishing a rapport and know the field that you plan. Know what field you plan with. And that's a way to assess people. Like, you know, all right, Sally is super nervous, so I have to coax her in a different way.
But the way I work is a little ill too because I'm roasting kids too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I love doing that too. So, I mean,
so
yeah,
it's like if you talk, because see, the thing is, I never got, like, I'm still 12. I'm 44, but I'm really 12. So the stuff that kids do, I still do. I watch the Smurfs. I got video games.
The Smurfs.
Like, so when you keep a childlike mentality, you enjoy life more. A lot of the times it's like, yes, oh, I got a wife. I gotta eat grape nut cereal. Like, bro, you still, and we're still learning. When you hit, how old are you?
I don't want to give out.
Well, just
like 10 minutes older than me.
You're retired. Let's say you're retired.
It's certain things in life that you're still learning about yourself every day.
All the time.
So
I learn something new every day. Just speaking with you, Sean, I've learned things today. And that's the beauty of going through life.
Yeah.
You never stop learning. You never stop changing. You never stop growing.
Mm-hmm.
And just, it's interesting just speaking with you, Sean, about life.
It's like, I hope somebody pull out a gun while I'm with you because you're going to talk about it. You're going to do the best. I feel safe now. He's like, wait, he asked him, can we go get some shrimp rolls? And then we're chilling at the Chinese store like, bro, I told you. We could work this. Well, you know what's funny about that? Do you guys read a lot of the news and see a lot of the crazy stuff that be happening?
I mean, not as often as one would think, but a lot of things are just because of social media.
Like,
and you rob
a bank and then go to Moe's and like sit and eat.
Oh yeah, with the money, the bread still. You know what I'm saying? Just having a sack.
Yeah, like,
you right. know, welcome to Moe's. Like, yeah, everybody can have a rap on me.
And then you just standing there like, yo.
And then, you get caught at Moe's.
Yo, then you get home like, wait, that's the guy that treated us at Moe's.
Yeah. He's the one, he brought us all extra queso sauce and everything.
We was just like, Ma, you lied.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Can I get pregnant? I am pregnant. I'm 18 months.
That wasn't the question.
I'm the first pregnant man.
No. When you're on the road, and I'm sure you're on the road quite often.
It's making me sound big time.
From city to city to city. when you're doing that,
I'm only going area to area, but I'll answer it like I'm.
It must get old quick, correct?
See, the thing is, I do more as a DJ. All
right.
So I've been around for like 20, 30 years as a DJ. Comedy is like that part-time job that you have because it's not your full-time job. It's not as much money in comedy as people think. People think like they'll say, "Yo, what kind of money?" It's not a money game. You first have to get good at what you're doing.
Right.
You can't say, "Yo, I want to be a DJ. I want to just do parties." You know what kind of years it take to be able to do parties? I go to some parties sometimes and it's like you're playing trap music at somebody's family reunion and they're like, "Yo, you think I just have my laptop with me and I'm not doing this party?"
Exactly.
Like, and they just want you to do something. I'm like, "Yo, y'all hired him." So it's one of those things like you have to learn how to cater to different crowds. Where when I moved up here, when I started working at Trusco, growing up in the Bronx compared to here, we don't listen to Sweet Home Alabama, Pour Some Sugar On Me. Like, I never heard none of them songs before. So moving up here, I learned, it's a whole different time, a whole different crowd. That's Amore, Italian songs, wedding songs, Tony Bennett. You have to learn that stuff. So you can't just pop up and say, "Oh, okay, I'm a DJ."
So you adapt to each situation.
You have to. So that's why I said the same thing with comedy. When I went to do the first video I had taped, me turning 40 seemed like I was old, but the crowd was like 60s and 70s. So I'm like, I thought that was something.
Young buck.
Oh, yeah. Man. So like I was saying with the improv, I'm just way better with it. And if something I wrote happened to come out during my conversation,
mm-hmm.
then I'll just like throw it in like, "Oh, okay, that wrench could be thrown at this point, you know, part of my sexual harassment set." I talk super crazy with stand up. Cause remember, stand up a lot of the time is about
call and response?
Shock value.
Of course.
So, you know, I'll say something like, "Yo, this chick told me to send a pic." I'd lift the belly, hold the camera at a 45-degree angle, hopefully the flash come on. And you have to, like, a lot of the times you have to, like, downplay yourself.
Oh,
like,
of course, you right. Self-deprecating comedy.
But the thing is, you have to be comfortable with it. Like, I'm not going to do something that I feel is, like, make me feel a certain kind of way to make other people laugh.
Oh, right. I hate you.
I'm not going to do, like, the whole race joke or... I'm not into certain things. I'm just not. That's not my thing.
I feel you on that.
You know what I'm saying? So I've done all kinds of stuff. Church, you know.
Hey, I've done church gigs too. Church. So I get it. But let me ask you this: in comedy, and DJing, which you definitely know you rock it either way. But right now, if somebody were to offer you something, what would be your dream comedy job right now? Would it be like a show, a movie, a role? What would be like your dream comedy gig right now? If you know, somebody could bring you out or grant you that.
You mean performing at a place?
I mean, sky's the limit. It could be a movie, it could be a movie role, it could be performing at a place, it could go on tour with somebody, I don't know.
To be honest, like I said, The Kane versus G-Rat was one of the biggest things that I've done as mm-hmm. far as, like, entertainment. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, maybe, I don't know. Maybe Madison Square Garden or something.
All right. So, no, that sounds like a pretty dope, lofty goal to be able to hit Madison Square.
Yeah. I mean, but see, like I said, Madison is big. But, like I said, I've done big places. And
so, don't tell me what you have. Tell me what you haven't done, but you would love to do.
It's hard to say because I'm one of those, like, whatever's happening is just happening. Like, I'm not the, like doing Apollo would be dope.
Okay. Yes. All right. Apollo, okay. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
I just, like I said, I'm one of those, as you see, I'll do something, come right back. Like, mm-hmm. people think I live in a city because I'll do stuff down there and just come back up.
Well, you're an artist. You're an art creator. Like we got to do gigs, right? The gig could be in Connecticut. The gig could be in Buffalo. Like we do it and we come back home, right? So we gotta get that bread, right? I mean, you can't the bell guy comes, you can't tell him a joke. You know what I mean? You can, but it ain't gonna do your bill. Did you have a question there, Mark?
The follow up would be to that, and you have to get paid, right? So are there any things now, because you've been in the business for a long time, any gig that you wouldn't take?
That you would
turn down? Or is it the type of thing where, as long as I'm comfortable, I'll take anything?
I'll put it to you like this. You get to a certain space where if I don't like your energy, I'm not going to do it.
All right, so that's
now, now, what happens a lot of the time, like I'll give a perfect example. I just did a paint job the week before last or last week? Right. It was last week. So a friend of a friend was like, hey, can you do this carpet job? I go there and it's like, oh, but we need to have it painted first. Can you do that? So I looked, I gave him a price that was a half of what it was worth, but I don't paint regularly. So I was like, all right, yeah, I'll do that. And the paint job was like double of what the carpet was. So I said, all right, cool, I'll take care of it. When I was going to the, basically you work for yourself. So if I'm saying that I'm gonna be done by the time you need me done, don't tell me what time to be there. You said 8:30. There's no way I'm gonna get up, pick somebody else up, get to you. I never said that.
This is interesting. This brings up something with Robert in an earlier show. The difference between a day job, things you have to do, and then your art, which is mostly at night. And a lot of people really, and again, all of the artists we spoke with have brought up the fact that you have to understand, and I don't think the general public does, and so I'm glad you brought this up, Sean. Yeah. The difference between, we all have day jobs.
We all
have to go out, do our day job, and then do our art whenever you can.
So like I was saying, so doing art is like the part-time job till it can become full-time.
Yes.
So being that I do different things, like going back to the paint job, the way her attitude was kind of like, I say, yo, I don't even want to do it now. Not trying to, and it's not about arrogance, but it's just like, I don't work, I'm doing a job for you, but I don't work for you.
Exactly.
So if you give me bad energy when you're trying to hire me to even DJ, if I don't feel an energy and I could tell you're going to be annoying and you're trying to low cut me, I'd just be like, I'm not going to do it. Because the ones that, once you say, okay, I'll do it, then, oh, you got lights? Oh, you got this? Can you do it? Can you stay? It becomes too much. So you don't want to put yourself in a position where something is just too much and you don't really feel an energy. Whereas, say, for instance, you say, hey, my grandson's graduation is this. The budget is not that great. All right, cool. All right, let's do it. And then you might even know that you can't really afford it, but it's like, all right, let's just do it. Because business is not all about just money. And when they say you can't mix business with pleasure, you want the business that you do with somebody to be pleasurable. Once you do, like say for instance, you don't have it and you're like, okay, can you do it for this? Doing you that favor, when something else come up, I might do 7-10 events for you throughout the years, and it'll all come from me doing that first event. But I'll take the risk of not doing more events for a person I don't really want to do an event for, because I don't want to do it. because in business, you've been through, okay, what's the signs that it's going to be an issue? Mm-hmm. Now, remember, you do the event, then it's a what ended up happening was, when she said that, we did the job, it came out excellent, she shorted me $50.
Oh, man.
Wow.
If I would have went with my original feeling of the job, of when she started to act like I was supposed to be there when she said and all this other stuff, my goal was to be done by 3 before your kids got home from school.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, it's not gonna, we don't, we're not gonna be painting for 6 hours. Whatever time we get there, we have till 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So it only took us half a day the next time to finish up, because we were almost finished, because I had my stepson help me with it. So the story gets crazier. I finished the job, I get shorted $50, right? Mm-hmm. My daughter's mother called me. I was like, perfect person to call, because she lives around the corner and she'll probably wanted to come beat the girl up. But I didn't get that far. So I'm on the phone. I'm walking down the stairs. She's like, you know what? I just slipped in a Walmart parking lot. Fell, I slipped and the phone went up in it. No. You know when you're falling in slow motion and you're just like, it's nothing
you can do. Nothing you can do. Oh, my God. Nothing you can do.
Yep. So I saw the picture.
I did see it. I commented on
it. I gave him the phone. I said, yo, take a picture. This is crazy. And you just see me looking at the steps like, this was not supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. So you try to make something funny out of, like, it was a tragic of the moment. I was like, I got jerked for $50. Mm-hmm. My daughter's mother slipped in the parking lot. Now I'm laying here. And then you could turn that emoji into the first time she comes through and you wasn't ready. And it just showed you, like, when is...
Right, some,
my fault.
I'm glad nothing bad happened.
Yeah, I was hurt for like 2 days.
Well, nothing worse happened. Was
yeah.
Because soreness, you know, the recovery time changes as we get older.
I'm a bouncing back up 2 days.
Just 2 days. 2 days is all you need.
I had the extra cushion that you don't have. You don't have all this. He's straight to the bone. Like, oh.
You would have to, like, put me over the shoulder. Look,
him and bad tragic. His pose would have been like, send your prayers. And hit it through a headband. Like, yo, he's bad. Just not what happened. And he slipped. He fell down one stair.
Oh, man. Look, wow. I mean, it's where are we at? All right. So it's coming around the time that you usually close up the show. And this is where we do kind of final thoughts. I don't know. This is the point where I'd like for you to reiterate where people can go to, like, book you or follow you or, you know, anything. Comment, you know.
So far, like, what I do locally is I do mostly private events as far as DJ, comedy, whatever.
Yeah.
Locally, I do Maloney's. I was doing Obama's a few months back, but locally now I do Maloney's, like, once or twice a month.
Okay. Maloney's is where?
On 1325 State Street.
Okay.
And everything else is, like, private booking.
1325 State Street, Schenectady?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And everything else is, like, usually private stuff. I have a DVD, like I said, Sort of a Comedian.
So how could they get that, you know? Or
just contact me through Facebook, Sean Reed, SEANREID, DJTWOFIFTY.
And I'll put that information under, too, for the podcast.
What would be easy is DJ250 spelled out the way I spelled it, and it'll come up on Instagram and Facebook.
Nice. All right. We'll definitely promote that. Also, you know, see you playing host when you come and see Time Crunch. You know what I mean? I'll probably do a premiere here. Of course, it's, you know, I just submitted it to film festivals and stuff like that. But we're going to do something here where I invite everybody.
He's going to charge us. $15 to see our own work. Like, all right, here's the ticket.
Hey, man, look, I've paid to see my work too, man, in the theater. It's crazy. Thank you for sharing your, you know, this is the dogma of Sean Reed. He's doing his philosophy. He's given us a lot of things to live by. And we definitely want to have you back again, you know, whatever you're promoting. And you know, anything final you wanted to say, Mark, for this episode here?
Well, comedy is tragic. And the reason I say that is there's a lot of things that happen in your life that could be very bad or in the course of your day, not that good. But when you go on stage and you have to turn that around and be a comedian.
Show must go on, huh?
And that's hard to do. And I really give you credit, Sean, for knowing how to do that. I couldn't do that.
Yeah. the thing about comedy is people don't understand, like, you're working at the craft in your head every day. Like, oh, right. You're trying to, like, everything that happens in your life, you're trying to figure out, like, all right, how could I turn this into something? And the thing is, like, I'll give a perfect example. My older daughter's 23. We're having a conversation on the phone. She's like, yeah, our breakup was mutual. Like, I guarantee it wasn't. But how is it mutual? Well, the lease was coming back around, and I couldn't see myself living with him no more. So I told him it was over. 3 weeks later, I said, do you want to get back together? That's not a mutual breakup. That's not a
mutual breakup.
His heart is torn. He's, like, dying inside. And now you would ask, yo, you feel like letting me stab you a few more times, like, rehashing it? So that's the stuff that the thing about comedy, what people don't understand is, when you get off stage, it's like, okay, he's a father, different mothers, his kids are this, his family's like this. So it's basically letting people into your world. Like, when you think of, like, Kevin Hart.
Right.
Kevin Hart material is what? Being a small guy, he's not that tough, and his family.
Right.
You have to take all of that stuff and then put it into, like, when he did the Irresponsible tour, he turned him cheating into a tour.
Right. Oh, right. Exactly. So I mean, that's right. Genius marketing.
You have to take, that's why even with music, on what they say, when you do your first album, if you get a deal at 26, you have 0 to 26 of life experience to that first album.
Right.
50 Cent, Get Rich, Die Trying blows up. Now that you're out there, you sold 12 million records. Now, what are you going to tell us now?
Right.
So now it's like your story is not as interesting because now you're like a millionaire, so you can't talk about doing all these. He still talks about drive-bys and killings and all.
That's why I say comedy is tragic. You talk about things that hurt and you make it funny. So, man,
I want to say again, thanks, Sean. We will definitely have you on again if you're
the lease is up, cutting off our national grid. All right, cool. And you get a brownie. All right, I understand.
Thanks so much for joining us on Super Art Creator Talk. Until next time, I'm Jermaine.
And I'm Mark Edwards.
All right,
and
then.
Thanks for the water.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Super Art Creator Talk. Spread the word, and we'll catch you on the next episode.